Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Sometimes we look like crazy people when we're following God. Sometimes we dance to our own beat, right? Because sometimes the things that God's saying to you, he's not saying to the person next to you. He's not saying it to the people around you. And it's hard to understand, but you know what? Keep listening to him. Keep listening to him. Because that's what matters. I read a verse when I came out here at the very beginning, whether you're here or not, if you're on time, that's great, you heard it. I read a verse, it was Matthew 18:20, and it said that when two or more are gathered, when two or more are here in this place, he's in our midst. Jesus is here. He's here. He's here, and if I look like a crazy person, I don't care, because he's here. He's here with us right now. Do you believe that? Do you honestly, truly believe that? Because if we do, then we don't have to worry anymore, do we? We don't have to stress anymore, do we? Whatever you came in with, whatever burden was on your back, because I see you guys, I see you come in. It's almost like you take a backpack from home and you put a brick in it, and then you put another brick in it, and then you put another brick in it, and you put another brick in it, another brick, and then you put it on, and then you walk outside the house. When every single day we should be laying that backpack down and saying, God, take it. Take what you want to take. And this isn't just a rah-rah thing. This isn't just something that I'm trying to do. It's not a gimmick. I don't want us to live this life. And I know that God doesn't want us to live this life unaware of his presence. God's good. I'll let you in on the song I was listening to later. How are you guys doing today? Did you think about that, or did you just like, was that a reaction? Was that like a, what was that? Was that a, I'm doing great because I'm supposed to say that, or was that a, things are good? Yeah, would you raise your hand and say, things are good? All right, this is good. This means that you guys have been doing the work. You've been putting the work in, right? Raise your hand if you're like, I don't know. Go ahead, raise your hand and say, I don't know. It's okay. That's where I was last night. I'm like, I don't know if things are okay. I don't know if he's going to continue to show up. And then God's like, come on, I've shown up over and over and over again. He proves himself, doesn't he? God is good and he's here, right? Probably gave the people backstage a heart attack just now because I didn't tell them what I was going to do. We're going to start in Jeremiah 29, read one of the most famous verses in the Bible, and then I don't know where we're going to end, but I'm going to try to be careful with your time. I know you guys have something going on today. I don't know what it is, but something, right? I see you in your jerseys. This is great. This is awesome. You know what? We're all about win. The team that's going to win is going to win today. That's my prediction. That's my prediction. I'm a regular prophet. Don't say that I'm wrong, because I won't be. It's funny how we do go around and say, God said this, God said that. If we said less, we would be wrong less, right? We'd be wrong less. So that, maybe that's a little lesson for us. But it's not wrong to say that God is good. It's not wrong to say that he's here. It's not wrong to say that he will never fail us. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, for not calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Some of you guys have this verse written on your fridge. Some of you guys have this memorized. "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare," right? "And not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." That's good news. And there's context to this, and we'll get to that. But I believe this is true for all of us. This was written to God's people, the Israelites. But I believe that this is God's heart for us, that he has plans for us. He has a way for us to follow. But we have to follow it. We have to follow it. And there are so many distractions in the world today. And the enemy has set those distractions up in order to keep you from following those plans. Period. And you may not know what they are. And you may know what they are. Some are obvious, some aren't. Right? Some are the sins you are easily entangled with. And you know those sins. And you know how you need to avoid those sins. Right? But others, the other plans that the enemy has, they're subtle. Subtle. He maybe has a plan to get us a little too involved in politics, or maybe has a plan to get us a little too involved in community events, or something that looks really good, but it's actually taking you away from your purpose. I'm not saying those things are bad. Those things are fine to be involved in. Some of you guys, you put a lot into your work. You put a lot into your work. And that's okay. That's good. God wants you to work hard. But don't ever lose sight of why you're working hard. Don't ever lose sight of why you're doing what you do, right? Why are you doing it? Let me ask you that. Why are you working? Why do you wake up every single day? Why? We do everything, right? We do everything. We should do everything for God, to give him the glory, to serve him, right? That's what we're doing today. Just by showing up, we're serving him. We're in service mode right now. I'm in service mode. You're in service mode. I prayed before you got here that the Holy Spirit would just fill this place, that he would be with us today, that he would speak to us today, that he would show us what he wants to show us today. And he's going to do that. And I thank him for that. There's a Hebrew word that I learned a long time ago when I was younger. And the word is shama. S-H-A-M-A, shama, right? It's a really powerful word. What it means is it means that you can hear and obey God. It means hearing, listening, giving your attention to God, listening to him. It means to listen or to give attention to whatever it is you're giving attention to. But in the scriptures, often it is relied to, it's to God. So this word is used over and over, 1,000 times in the Old Testament. Very, very, very prominent word. And most of the time it's talking about hearing God. So it's to listen, to give attention to, with the heart of obedience, with saying, I'm not only listening, I'm not only hearing, I'm going to do what God says to do. So a good example of practicing shama would be to hear something today. Not what Josh is saying, not what the worship team said, or not whatever that weird video was that we played during announcements, but whatever God is speaking to you today. And it might be something very simple, and it might be something very profound that you're going to have to work on, right? I don't know what it is, because I don't know where you are, because I don't live in your house, right? That'd be weird. If you woke up in the morning, I'm like, hey, what's up? Right? If I did, then I would know more about what you know you're going through, and I would be able to help you a little bit, you know, more specifically. But I don't. I don't know because I'm just a dude. But God is there when you wake up. The Lord is there, and he knows what you're going through. He knows your doubts. He knows your frustrations. He knows your fears. He knows what confuses you. He knows what bums you out, what makes you sad. He knows the people in your life that are giving you a hard time. He knows the trauma and the damage and the things that have happened to you in your past. He knows what those things have caused in your life today. He knows all of these things. He knows what excites you. He knows what pumps you up. He knows what gets you out of bed in the morning. He knows everything about you. All of it. All of it. And that scares some of us, doesn't it? But it should comfort you. Because he's coming to us as a father who loves you very much, who's rooting for you. Today, maybe we don't say it enough in church, but I'm rooting for you guys. I'm rooting for you. I want you to do well. You know why? Because I know God is rooting for you. He's rooted for me. He's been there for me every single step of the way, and he's going to be there for you. And I know, this is preaching to the choir. You guys already know these things. When I asked you to raise your hand if things are going well, you guys all raise your hand because your life is just going perfectly, right? It's probably just because you got done worshiping and you're feeling better, right? But we all have things, and God knows every single one of us. So the word shama, hearing God, obeying God. Now, I want to kind of dissect that and so that you can understand what that means. You see, there were a bunch of prophets in the Old Testament, and these were people that were set aside, and they would hear God. They would hear God, and they would hear him for the purpose of sharing with other people. There are very prominent men and women in our society today who we know they hear God and they're to be respected and revered. But you know, people like he passed, but Billy Graham was one of them, right? He heard God, and you knew that he was speaking from God. And there's been so many of these people throughout the past. And I don't know about you guys, but when I think about those people, and then I think about myself, I think there's a bit of a gap between me and them. I can never be like them, right? I can never be that type of person that hears God so well, and that when I walk into a room, you know, everyone just, they listen to me because I'm a spokesman for God, right? Like, I always think there's no way. But the word shama, hearing God and obeying God, the very first time it's mentioned, I'm going to read you that scripture, and that's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. If you know the context here, Adam and Eve just ate that fruit. They had just eaten that fruit. And in verse 10, it says, and he said, Adam said, I heard, there's the word shama, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Some of you don't think you hear God, but you do. And you're hearing him in this context. You're hearing him in the context of, oh no, he's coming. And oh no, I'm not clean. You think you don't hear God, but he's just saying one thing to you over and over. He's saying, come back. Come back. Come back. That's what he's saying, come back. And you're saying, no, I don't want all those things, I can't change, it's not for me, I'm not that person. He's saying, no, come back, come back. Look at Exodus chapter 3, 6 through 10. There's another man who heard the Lord, and he would become one of the most proficient prophets ever. His name was Moses. Moses was minding his own business one day when he stumbled across a bush that was on fire. I don't know what you guys would think if you saw a bush that was on fire, but I would think, oh, someone needs to put that out, right? But he was drawn to this bush because he noticed that the bush wasn't burning up and it was on fire. It was weird. It was an odd situation. It was a weird moment. And so he walks up to this bush. And what does he see? What does he hear? He hears the word of God. He hears God speaking to him. And Exodus 3, 6, it says, this is God speaking. He says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Again, this is a bush that's on fire, okay? It's a bush that he's looking at. All of a sudden it says, I am the God of your fathers. Then Moses hid his face, for he was what? Afraid. He heard God, and the reaction was he was afraid. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. If you bounce over to verse 11, Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? In chapter 4, verse 10, Moses responds to God. He's still arguing. This is like a whole argument situation. It turns into a, oh my gosh, God is speaking to me through this bush. And then it immediately turns into a, no, thank you. I don't want any of that. I appreciate it, right? It's an argument with God. God's calling him and he's saying, no. I'm good. Thank you. I've got my life over here. I'm walking around in the desert, minding my own business. I just killed somebody. So I'm kind of on the run. Like I'm doing my thing. And God is like, no, I'm calling you to do something great. And what was he calling him to? He was calling him to release captives from captivity. He was calling him to free the oppressed. He was calling him to do something really great. Some of you are here today and God is calling you. He's been calling you for a while. And some of you, you're saying, no, I'm good. I appreciate that, God, but I got my thing over here. I'm good, right? And you're nervous. But don't be, because when God calls you, he gives you everything you need to make sure that that calling is fulfilled. It's not that God calls you because you're amazing, right? I mean, that's what we like to think. I'm so amazing that God would call me. No. That's not why he calls you. He calls you because he knows that eventually you're going to do it. You're going to listen. You're going to obey. Because you understand the father-child relationship. And you understand that not only are you a child, like a child is when they get in trouble or they get punished, but you're also a child in the aspect of you're going to get all the blessings. You're going to get all the things that the Father has, that you're an heir, that that's who you are. Another example of God speaking is Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, there's a situation where this boy, Samuel, is with his mentor, Eli, and says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It happened at the time as Eli was lying down, so he's sleeping in his place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Verse 3 says, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of God of the Lord where the ark of God was. And in verse 4 it says that the Lord God called Samuel. God called Samuel and he said, here I am. But when he answered and said, here I am, he thought that it was Eli calling him, right? He thought that it was Eli. And so he went to Eli. Hey, Eli, I'm here. What's up? Eli's asleep. He's like, huh? He's like, go back to sleep, man. It's late. we'll talk about this tomorrow, right? And so Samuel goes back, and he hears it again. Samuel. And he gets up and goes to Eli. Hey, man, you call me again. What's going on? What's the deal? I heard you. And Eli says, go back to sleep, man. It's late. You know, we've got things to do tomorrow. Go back to sleep. So he goes back, and then it happens again. And Samuel goes to Eli again. And he's like, I know that you said something to me. And then it says that Eli perceived that something else was going on. This is my version, by the way. Something else was going on. He realized that it was God calling Samuel. And then he gave him instructions on how to heed the call. But I want you to think about this in a couple of terms. One is Samuel didn't recognize the voice of God, yet he was where he was supposed to be. He was in the place where God was. He was where he was supposed to be. And you know what? It took time. It took time for him to hear the voice of the Lord. It wasn't automatic. Some of you guys, you know, you're new to the faith maybe, or maybe you know somebody that's new to the faith, you can share this with them. But we have to understand that doing the things that he's called us to do, reading the scriptures, praying, being with other believers, praying with other believers, worshiping together, the things that we're doing today, these things are actions and processes that help us, help the soil in our heart be tilled so that the seeds can be planted. But how many of you guys have ever went out to a farm when the ground was just tilled, right? When it was just tilled, it's just dirt that's been mulched up. It's dirt that's been messed with, right? Right? There's no crop until the rain comes, until the sun comes, until time takes this process, and there's this growth. I'm not a farmer. I don't know how it really works, but, you know, it comes, it happens. It happens, but it takes time. It takes time. And some of us, we're in the right place. We're in the right spot, and we need to understand that it just takes a little bit of time. Another thing I want you to see in the story is that Samuel positioned himself with a man of God, Eli, with someone who did recognize God's voice. And through that relationship, through that mentor relationship, something special happened. I was talking to Pastor Tom this week, Pastor Tom Touchstone, and Pastor Tom is leaving this year. He's given us a very long heads up, and it's been really good to have that heads up. But it's going to be a loss when he leaves. He's a leader here. He's one of the most prominent leaders that helped build this church. And so, you know, if you're out there and you're God's calling you to leadership, we need you to step up to fill that gap. But one of the things that surprised me, he's older than me. He's I'm not going to say he's old, but he's older. But here's the thing. One of the things that amazed me was he said that he had a mentor. And I thought, how many men at his age have mentors? How many men who have been in the faith for so long, who have done so much, have mentors? Yet some of us think we don't need that. I think that shows a sign of maturity when somebody who is in the faith, who is in the church and has done so much, still says that they need to be around people. Because those people might be your only hope when you need them. I know for myself, I have friends who have helped me so much. I have mentors too, but I have friends who have been there and who have lifted me up when I needed it. So be around people that know the Lord, right? One last one is Isaiah. And we're not going to get through all this today, but that's all right. Isaiah chapter 6, God gives Isaiah a vision. It says in verse 1, in the year of the king Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe, filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings, and with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. So Isaiah has this vision of God on the throne. He has a vision of who God actually is. He starts to understand the reality of God. And his reaction is this. He says, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips." That's the first thing he says. This is Isaiah, the prophet. Kind of a big deal. He says, "Woe is me, for I am ruined because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then God sends one of his angels, the seraphim, flew to him with a burning coal in his hand, to which he had taken from the altar with tongs, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." So when Isaiah has an experience with God, it reflects on who he ain't, right? It reflects on who he isn't. and he feels less than. In other words, God speaks to Isaiah, shows him this vision, and he feels less than. Do you see where I'm getting with all this? It's like when God speaks to us, it's not always a hallelujah and amen. When God speaks to you, sometimes it's an uh-oh. When God speaks to you, sometimes it's a no thank you. When God speaks to you, sometimes it's a not me, God. You got the wrong one. But in that humility, we find the power of God. We find the power of God. Verse 8 in Isaiah, I'm going to continue on this because it's important. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Now he is cleansed of his sin. He understands who he is. I'm a sinner. God says, no, you're not anymore because I'm here. I'm going to cleanse you. And then the next thing he says, he looks around. I can only imagine it's like Isaiah's here and there's really nobody else. And he's like, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And he's like, I'm in. Pick me. Because he believed. He believed that when his sins were forgiven, when they were wiped, when he was cleansed, that it really happened. He believed that he was okay with God now. Because God said so. Period. Because God said so. Jesus died on the cross, right? He died on the cross. He took your sins. What does that mean? That means you are good with God. There's no difference between you and Isaiah. So he says, here I am. Send me. And he said, go and tell this people. He gives them a message. Now Jesus Christ, remember him? He quotes this scripture in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 14 says, and in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. And with their ears, they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes. Is that you? Lest. The most important word of this whole sermon is lest, if you can believe it. Lest, L-E-S-T. Lest they should see with their eyes. And hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, lest Shama, and I should heal them. You see what he's saying? He's saying it's their choice. It's your choice. You can ignore, you can be unaware of his presence. You can believe me when I say that when two or more are gathered, he's right here in the midst of us. Or you can ignore it. You can believe it or you can ignore it. But if you believe it, and I would encourage you to believe it, it says, blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it. And to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And here's the context of all this. The context of all of it is this was Jesus talking to them. Jesus himself spoke to the multitudes and told them stories, yet they didn't realize it was Jesus that was there. That he was in their midst. We don't realize he's there when we're in the line at the supermarket. We don't realize he's there when we're getting chewed out by our boss. We don't realize that he's there when our wife or our husband is ignoring us. We don't realize that he's there when our team is down by 21 points in the fourth quarter. I'm not going to say which team. We don't realize he's there in the mundane times just as much as he's here right now. He's with us. He's with us and he's for us. He's with us and he's for us. He's with us. And he loves us. And he's here. To be continued. I don't know. There's more, but. Let's pray. Lord, we don't deserve you, but we gladly receive you. Lord, we love you. We need you. Right now, as the campus pastors take over, you guys pray in your place because the Holy Spirit's moving in your place. So Pastor Tom over at Northwest, Dale over in up in Satchel, you guys take over. God is calling us to greater things, but not just things to do. He's calling us to be with him. He's calling us to listen to him, to hear him, and to follow him. He's calling us to be together in unity. As we do that, and as we do that, we will be unified. As we listen, as we hear, and as we obey, we're gonna find ourselves walking in the same direction. And when we walk in the same direction under his name, mighty and wonderful things can happen. It's getting weird out there in this world. It's getting difficult out there. Evil has raised a standard. But when evil raises a standard, God raises a higher one. So I'm excited. I'm pumped. Because God is going to move like we've never seen him move before. Now, Lord, I pray, God, that you take our hearts, that you take the soil of our hearts, the hard dirt, and I pray that you would mash it up. And I pray that you would get it ready for planting season. And I pray that you would plant the seeds and water the seeds, and I pray they would grow. Let us trust you that next year we're going to be in a different place than we are this year because we've trusted you today. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd move on every single soul, move on every single heart. If somebody needs prayer, I pray that they would do that today and get it and not leave. I pray that you bless everyone else and help them to have a good day and help them to remember that you're with them the whole day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the song I was listening to when I came out, this is that song.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.